Have your Bibles with you. Open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We're reading verses 8 up to 14 of Luke chapter 2. If you have not brought your Bibles with you, we have Bibles that are available for your use. We have underneath those seats Bibles which you can read with us, along with us. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? Luke chapter 2, verses 8. 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom His favor rests." Let us pray. May the words of our mouth, O God, and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to You. Strength in our life. In Jesus' name. Congregation may be seated. Last Sunday, we started our celebration of the Advent or the Christmas season by lighting the first Advent candle or the candle of hope, and also by decorating our Christmas trees here in our sanctuary with homemade Christmas or Christian monograms or Christmas, which are actually symbols of the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning Advent, one of the things that I highlighted, particularly at the beginning of the sermon I preached last Sunday, was the origin of the word, the Advent. And I said that if we just take the time to know what Advent is all about, we will soon discover that it comes from the Latin Adventus, A-D-V-E-N-T-U-S, which simply means coming. And the word represents not just the first coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh or His birth, which is the reason why we celebrate Christmas, but also His second coming at the final judgment, where our Lord Jesus Christ Himself will be crowned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will require all of us to give an accounting of everything that we have done here on earth, whether the good thing that we did or the bad thing that we did. At the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that He was sent by God, the Father, to be the Savior of the world. And the passage that for me captures the essence of this truth is found in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle John declared, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal or everlasting life." For God did not send His Son, meaning our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. Now it is clear from these two verses in the Gospel of John that it was God's great love that spurred God Himself to send His one and only Son into the world more than 2,000 years ago. However, it might interest us to know that many years before Jesus Christ actually came, the Jewish people in particular were already anticipating His birth because of the announcement the prophet Isaiah made that to them a child is born, to them a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that Messiah that the Jewish people are expecting, will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be Mighty God. He will be Everlasting Father. He will be the Prince of Peace. Without a doubt, this announcement that the prophet Isaiah made concerning the birth of Jesus Christ gave hope to the Jewish people who for a very long period of time were being oppressed by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But beyond the hope that Jesus' birth will bring to them, I believe that there is another part of the announcement that we should never overlook, and it has something to do with the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ also offers not just for the Jewish people, but for all the peoples of the world. And this includes you and me here today. Again, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that because God loves the world so much, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal. Church, take note that the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ offers, not just for the Jewish people, but for all the peoples of the world, which includes all of us here today, is the same kind of peace that the angels sang about when they appeared to a group of shepherds shortly after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. As I point out the four important things about this peace for our consideration today, it is my prayer that we will be acquainted with this kind of peace once again, and in turn live out this peace not only during the Christmas season, but every day of our lives. First and foremost, notice that the peace the angels sang about comes only from God, and nothing in this world can offer it. Let me say that again. The peace that the angels sang about comes only from God, and nothing in this world can offer it. Again, in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." What we see in these verses is that the peace promised by God has nothing to do with what the world can offer. And since this peace is beyond the confines of this world, then obviously this peace cannot be acquired through any of the countless consumer items of our materialistic society today. This peace cannot be purchased. This peace cannot be charged with a credit card. This peace cannot be worn. This peace cannot be eaten. This peace cannot be driven. This peace cannot be hung in a closet or stored on a shelf or stashed in a safe deposit. Just let me tell you that if the peace that comes only from God does not dwell in our hearts right now, especially during this Christmas season, then it cannot be found anywhere else in this world. But the sad commentary about the world today is that so many people are still searching for peace in the shopping mall, because they think that if you can just make one more purchase or acquire one more possession, they will reach the state of contentment that they have been longing for. But church, as King Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, this is all vanity, or chasing after the wind. Because the truth of the matter is that if we don't have a personal relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ, His Son, we will never find peace, no matter how hard we try. You see, peace only comes as we rely less and less on the things of this world, and we rely more and more on the promises of God. That is why the prophet Isaiah was right on target when he said these words, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, whose mind is focused on you and on you alone." And then another prophet by the name of Jeremiah recorded this promise God himself made. God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So church, if you're looking for peace right now, you can find it in the world. You can find it in the shopping malls. But you can only find it in and through your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, the peace that the angels sang about, it's as much between us as it is within us, which simply means that peace is a shared state of well-being enjoyed by all people, which means also that we cannot live in the vacuum at all. For instance, my family cannot attempt to be at peace while those who live across the street or around the corner of our house find themselves in situations of chaos and torment. In other words, peace cannot simply be within us, but it must also exist between us. So if you and I, for example, are out of fellowship with one another, then both of us cannot truly be at peace no matter what we possess or what we know. If our actions bring hurt or harm or humiliation to another human being, to a fellow church member, to a member of your family, then we cannot be at peace because we have caused the distress of someone else. Just let me ask you this question. Is there somebody in your life at this very moment with whom you ought to have fellowship, but instead you are not on speaking terms, especially this Christmas season? Or are you trying to have peace in your life where there is trouble in your relationships with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, or with your classmates? If you find yourself in this kind of situation right now, I would like to remind you one more time that there can be no peace within us until there is peace between us. And also would like to remind you that what Jesus Christ Himself came to make possible when He was sent by God the Father into this world was that He came to give us the power through the Holy Spirit to make peace among ourselves in order that we can speak words of forgiveness even to those who have hurt us, and we can allow a person who has failed us once to walk on the path of second chances. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, the Apostle Paul reminds us with these words, "For He," meaning our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, "is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man, and out of the two that's making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility." Our Lord Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And then, of course, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul also declares, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Thirdly, in practical terms, the peace that the angels sang about has to begin with us. And again, what this simply means is that if we want peace to occur on this earth, especially this Christmas season, we cannot and we must not wait for somebody else to make the first move. We must initiate the action and tell someone that we are sorry. We must go first and tell someone, "I forgive you." We must lead the way. We must set the good example and start doing in our own lives those things we would hope to see others do someday. You see, church, if there's going to be peace on the earth, then we have to be willing to initiate the action that can bring about that peace, because the truth of the matter is that the world will not be changed in a very significant way if all of us will just wait for somebody else to make the first move. Now, concerning the first move in the process of peace, let us remember that it was God Himself who set the example for us when He sent Jesus Christ into this world. God did not wait for us to get ourselves together before He entered our human race, but as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Church, take note that the word sinning in this particular verse emphasizes an ongoing act. And so the picture that we see here is that of God initiating the peace treaty with us by making the first move, by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us while we were still sinners. God made the first move. And since God has already made the first move, it is now our turn to respond in that kind of spirit towards those in our own family, towards our friends, our fellow church members, and many others, especially during this Christmas season. Fourth and lastly, the peace that the angels sang about is the peace that has brought heaven and earth together. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says that all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 also says that the wages of our sin is death, which means that we will be separated from God because of our sin. We will all die, but more importantly, because of our sin, we will be separated from God for all eternity if something's not done about our sin. Normally, because of sin, heaven and earth are so far separated from the other that there is no connection between the two. But thank God that in the fullness of time, He sent Jesus Christ to bridge the gap between heaven and earth and provided the way for sinners like you and me to be reconciled. Someone once said that God did not send a committee. God did not write a book. God did not send a substitute. But then when He got ready to save the world, He sent the best He had. And in sending Jesus Christ, He was really sending sin. God gave the greatest gift when He gave Jesus. God gave the greatest gift of love wrapped in His Son. He brought us hope when we had nothing left to hope for. Salvation story has begun. God gave the greatest gift when He gave Jesus. God gave the greatest gift of love wrapped in His Son. He brought us hope when we had nothing left to hope for. At last, the long-awaited promise, the gift the world has waiting for, God gave this gift. I would like to close this message by reminding us once again that the one gift from God that we should never do without is Christmas. It's the gift of God. Because it is this gift that made it possible for us sinners to be restored back. However, receiving this gift and keeping it to ourselves should not be what we are about, because our loving God set the example for us by making the first move in that while we were still sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. And so the least that we can do as our expression of gratitude to Him is to extend the gift of peace to others. But take note that we can never extend that gift of peace to others until we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God's greatest gift for us this Christmas season. Again, John chapter 3, verse 16 clearly says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have life. My question for you is, even as a Christian, have Jesus. And if you have Jesus in your heart right now, you have that gift of peace that can only come from, and you are able to extend that gift. Pray that when we leave this place today, with the help of God, we will resolve to let peace begin with us, that we will resolve to allow the peace of God to flow right in through us. Peace is what the angels sang about when they first appeared to those lowly shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We should be singing that same song during the Christmas season. Rest. Listen to this. Came upon midnight gleam, glorious song of angels bending near, touch their harps for her. Peace on the earth, goodwill to all. Heaven's all gracious King, world solemn stillness land. Hear the angels singing this song. Is their song? Christ. On earth, whom His favor is. Pray very strong that you have God's peace in your heart. If not, I pray very strong. I ask of you that even before this service ends, you will open your heart and say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I cannot save myself. I thank you that you brought peace into my life. You died on the cross of Calvary. You restored me back into fellowship with you. Lord Jesus, I now open the door that you can take control of us. So can we truly say, as we leave this place today, peace be upon you, God of peace, gift of peace, as we leave this place today. We thank you that even in the midst of difficult situations, we have peace. Passes all understanding because we have Jesus. Father, we ask that even as we celebrate Christmas, for anyone of us here who has yet to truly enjoy the meaning of the season, truly embrace Father, what it is to enjoy peace. Thank you, Father God, Holy Spirit, who gives us the power even to go through life with trials and challenges. Father, we pray that you allow us to embrace peace. Release us, Father God, through this place. In Jesus' name.